The 73rd Psalm is known as a Psalm of Asaph, who was David's chief musician. Whether or not Asaph was the author of this psalm or David, who authored it for Asaph, is not known. However, the psalm begins with an assertion of a basic foundational truth. Truly, God is good. Now, it is very important that we have certain basic undergirding truths upon which we build our whole structure of faith and concept of God. There are certain things that I need to constantly remember. And one of those is God is good. Now, sometimes the circumstances of my life may challenge that statement. There are some times that I cannot understand the things that I am going through, the experiences that I'm faced with. Because it does not seem that it is consistent. If God is good, then why am I suffering these things? And so many times the circumstances of my life would not really assure me of the goodness of God, and thus I need to have this as an undergirding truth upon which I can fall back. When I am in trouble, when I can't understand my circumstances, I need to be able to fall back on the fact that God is good. Now, this I know. And it's important that we have these basic foundational truths upon which to rely and fall back on when it seems that the storms are about to destroy us. Because none of us have been promised immunity from problems. They that be righteous shall suffer persecutions. The Bible does not promise that Christianity is going to be just an easy bed of roses. That now that you've accepted Jesus Christ, everything is just going to flow and be beautiful. And there are going to be rose petals along your path wherever you go. You're more apt to find the thorns than you are the rose petals. It's a thorny path that we walk through life. And there are storms that will come and threaten to undo us, threaten to destroy us. There are going to be times when you think you're going to sink. As the psalmist declared, my foot almost slipped. I about had it. I was going down. He started out with a foundational truth. I know that God is good, but yet I almost slipped when I was trying to understand the things of life around me. But just as it seems we're going down, we discover that rock under our foot, the basic foundations upon which our faith is built, and we're able then to stand in the most severe storms. How many times I've held my head above the water with just the knowledge that all things work together for good to those who love God. That's the only thing that kept me going. Because I surely could not see what good could come out of the situation. I surely could not understand my circumstances. It seemed like I was going under. But yet, I know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And that kept me going. I know that God loves me. And that God is working in the circumstances of my life. The psalmist was in very perilous waters. My feet were almost gone. I was going down, he said, I was slipping. Because, he said, I became envious when I observed the prosperity of the wicked. One of the things that we have difficulty understanding is why wicked people so often are prosperous. People that are blasphemous concerning God. People who say evil things against God, and yet their lives seem to be so prosperous. And in looking at the prosperity of the wicked, he said, I became envious. Probably was watching Dallas on TV. And he couldn't understand how a guy as wicked and mean as that can seemingly get by with all of the evil that he is doing. Not only get by, but he lives so luxuriously. It seems like he is prospering in his wickedness. Seems like he's getting by with every kind of evil thing. As he observed the wicked, he said, they never seem to be sick. They're never in trouble or plagued. Their eyes seem to bulge out with fatness. They have more than their hearts could wish. Full cups are wrung out to them. And they seem to become more prosperous and richer every day. Now, this is hard for me to understand why God would allow wicked people to prosper like this, especially when I'm trying to live a good life and I am suffering so much. How is it that wicked people are getting by, and here I am trying to do the right thing, and it seems that I'm just struggling constantly? He says concerning the wicked, they are filled with pride. They are covered with violence. They are corrupt. Their speech is filthy. They speak contemptuously of God. Blasphemy. They say, oh, how does God know? And is there any knowledge with the Most High? These are the men that are prospering in the world. These are the men who seem not to have any trouble. No financial burdens, no problems like I have. It doesn't seem to be fair. Now, in observing the wicked in their prosperity, it led him to wrong conclusions. For he said, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain. Hey, it doesn't pay to try to live right. It doesn't pay to try to serve God. It doesn't pay to try to be honest. Look at those people with all of their dishonesty, and look how they are prospering. Look how much they're getting. And here I am trying to be honest, and I'm getting slapped in the face. It doesn't pay to try to do the right thing. I've cleansed my heart in vain. It doesn't pay to serve God. For it seems as I'm trying to serve God, he chastens me every morning. And I have trouble all day long. Something's wrong. If God is good, then why don't good people prosper and wicked people have the problem? When I sought to understand this, he said, it was just too painful for me. I couldn't think about it. It was just something I couldn't handle. All of us have painful experiences in life that we do not understand. We really do not understand the ways of God. God said, "My ways are not your ways. My ways are beyond your finding out." Many times when I have to go to talk to a young couple, perhaps their baby has died in one of those mysterious crib deaths. And you have to go there as God's representative, and they want to know from you why God took their precious little baby that they love so much. Why did God allow our baby to die? I don't know. I don't understand all of the things that God does. I don't understand why many things happen to us. I don't understand sorrow and suffering and pain and the reasons for it. When I know that God is good, it troubles me that good people have to suffer. There are many things about God that you will never understand. And in endeavoring to understand them only brings pain. God, why? And in endeavoring to understand, it almost wipes you out. It really threatens your very spiritual existence. In seeking to understand, we often torture ourselves with tormenting thoughts. Oh, if I'd only gone in and checked. Oh, if I'd only said this. Oh, if I'd only done this. Oh, if I could have only, you know, and we're trying constantly to go back and somehow change that which already is. Oh, if I could only do it over. And we only torment ourselves as we allow these thoughts to just come into our minds. But why didn't I say that? Why didn't I do this? Oh, if I'd only done that. When I sought to understand it, it was just too painful for me. Until, he said, I went into the sanctuary of God. And then I understood their end. Now, the problem with our understanding of a situation and the fallacy of our reasoning is due to the fact that we are always looking at circumstances and judging the circumstance as it relates to me in the present. Whereas God is always looking at the circumstances as they relate to me in the eternal. And this is why I cannot understand always the ways of God. What God is doing. Because I'm interested in the present benefits. God is interested in the eternal benefits. I'm interested in my present welfare. God is interested in my eternal welfare. And I am always thinking of the things and looking at the things as they relate to me right now. And God is always looking at them as they relate to me in eternity. Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, God is always looking down at the end of the road, the eternal. plan. Oh, I think it'd be marvelous to be the wealthiest man in the world. Think of what I could do with all that wealth. Think how luxuriously I could live. I could have servants to do all my work for me. I could sit out in the patio by the pool while they bring me 7-Up. And we think, oh, that would be so glorious. But God is saying, no, there is something more important than that. More valuable than that. And that's the eternal welfare of your soul. That's what's important. And as God deals with our lives, and as God brings circumstances into our lives, it's always with the eternal in mind. But I'm not always thinking with the eternal in mind. I'm thinking with the bill I've got to pay tomorrow in mind. The present comfort, the present ease. And for this reason, I cannot understand the workings of God because I do not see far enough down the road. The psalmist said, it was too painful for me. I just couldn't take it. I almost slipped until I went into the sanctuary of God. Coming into the sanctuary of God should always broaden our perspective. It should take us out of the narrow limits of that material, temporal world in which we live. And it should always be a broadening experience where coming into the sanctuary of God, I become conscious of the eternal. And as I become conscious of the eternal, I suddenly begin to see things in a whole new perspective. There's a whole new light shed upon the circumstances. And coming into the sanctuary of God, the psalmist now sees the rich who are wicked and prospering. He sees them in a totally different light. No longer is he envious of them. Now he is pitying them. He feels sorry for them, for he sees them now in relation to the eternal. And surely, God, you have set them in slippery places, and their foot will go down to destruction as in a moment. Here I was so envious of those people, but now I see them in the light of eternity, those poor souls. They're about to be destroyed forever. They'll take nothing with them. Surely thou hast set them in the slippery places and brought them into desolation. In a moment's time, they will be utterly consumed with the terrors of death. Not only did he see the truth about the wicked, when he came into the sanctuary of God, he saw the truth about himself. God is continually with me. He is upholding me as he takes me by the right hand and as he guides me through life. Oh, what could I ever want in life more than him? And surely in heaven, there is nothing more that I could ask for. Whom have I in earth beside thee, and whom is there in heaven that I desire beside thee? As he sees now his relationship with God, how that God is watching over, God is caring, and God is leading him into that eternal place of blessing. And so the psalmist concludes, it's good for me to draw near to God, because there I find the balance of life. There I find the answers to my dilemmas. There I come to an understanding of the eternal. good for me to draw near unto God. I have put my trust in Jehovah God. This morning, it is quite possible that you have come into the sanctuary in a battered condition, as you've been buffeted by the material world in which we live. So many times we almost just, in a figurative sense, we almost just sort of crawl in, just about destroyed, almost wiped out, because of the circumstances of the week. And as we sit here, the Spirit of God begins to minister to us. And we begin to get a new view of God, which brings us a new view of ourselves, a new understanding of our surroundings, a new strength, as the foundations are again discovered. God is good. God does love you. All things are working together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And I begin to get a new perspective, and I realize that the present suffering is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. I realize that this affliction, which is but for a moment, is working an eternal weight of glory. And I see things in light of eternity, the broadened perspective. And I'm able to go back out. And I'm able to face another week, because I know that God is holding me by the right hand, and He's going to see me through. I still may not understand. It isn't necessary that I understand every detail of the circumstances of my life anymore. I leave that with God. God, I don't understand why this is happening to me, but I do understand that You are good and that You love me. And because You're allowing this to happen to me, I know that You're going to work out some good purpose in my life through it. And so, Lord, have at it. Your will be done. And I am able to accept now those things that I cannot understand, because my faith is not predicated upon my understanding the ways of God, but understanding God, that He is good, that He loves me. Basic foundational truths, you need to have them. For whenever you come up against those things which you cannot understand, and you will many times, then you can always fall back on what you do understand, if you have the basic foundations underneath. Falling back on those, you'll never slip. You'll never fall. Now, to the wicked, there is also a message in this psalm. To those who are prospering in their wickedness, you think that you're getting by with it. You feel rather smug. You think nobody really knows, and it doesn't really make any difference. God doesn't really see. If there were a God and He was so good, then surely He would have smitten me down by now. But doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? And you actually have deceived yourself into thinking that you're getting by with your evil. Not so. you're on a slippery plank walking over the pit of hell. God has put you in a slippery place, and in a moment you can go down to destruction without hope. Better that you, coming into the sanctuary of God, also catch the view of the eternal and realize that someday, though you may get by with it throughout your entire life, you're going to stand before God and give an account of your life. And it is the eternal that really counts. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can come into the sanctuary of God this morning and catch a glimpse of the eternal. To have once again the foundations established, knowing, God, that you love us, knowing, God, that you are good, knowing, God, that you are working in the circumstances of our lives, we commit ourselves into your care, unto your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? If you this morning are faced with that problem of almost slipping, finding your experiences almost too painful to bear, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and meet with one of the pastors back there and just let them share with you. The Bible said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And allow them to bear your burden with you and together come into the awareness and the consciousness of the eternal, that you might go forth from here holding the hand of God, being strengthened and helped as he enlarges your perspective today. And you see beyond the narrow limits of that problem with which you are faced presently, and you see the eternal plan of God that he is working in your life as he is looking down in the endless aeons to come at that blessing of sharing eternity with him. And as he works in you and prepares you now for that eternal life, God be with you and bless you and keep his hand upon you through the week, watching over you in his love. May you walk in the Spirit and in fellowship with him. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. If you would like further information on any of our products or to receive our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.